There are those who have made it their business to systematically promote disharmony between Muslims and the rest of the world. They use the flimsy excuse of freedom of expression to attack us, and in doing so, they abandon the basic principles of tolerance and understanding. These are just some of the frustrations experienced by Muslims living in the West, in a society which regards itself as civilized, while viewing us as backward, primitive, and uncivilized. If any of you go onto the internet and do a word search on Islam, you are 100 times more likely to find the word terrorism in the same sentence than if you key in the word Christianity, Judaism, Hinduism, or any other faith. Surely all terrorists are not Muslims, and neither are all Muslims terrorists. Just like all rapists are men, but not all men are rapists. Muslims did not bomb Afghanistan. Muslims did not invade Iraq. Muslims are not threatening to bomb Iran or launch preemptive strikes. The pioneers of so-called suicide terrorism are actually the Tamil Tigers of Sri Lanka, a Marxist-Leninist group whose members are largely from the Hindu faith. The resistance in Palestine, Iraq, Kashmir, Afghanistan, Chechnya, and even in Ireland emerged because of a desire for political self-determination or a territorial claim. Basically, illegal occupation is the prime cause of resistance I have mentioned, not religion. But by falsely associating Islam with terrorism and the global war on terror, we really know all of these loaded phrases, poisonous editorials, and political pronouncements from the White House to Downing Street mean one thing: there is a war on Islam. Terrorism is stateless and can never be defeated by force. A lesson Bush and Blair would do well to take on board. Yet Tony Blair says that Muslims should root out religious extremists in Britain so we can all live peacefully side by side. Well, why don't we start rooting out the religious extremists and start with number 10 Downing Street and the White House? Say that he's probably not the person to go into the Muslim communities. Well, for once, I would agree with him. I would tell him, stay away from us, stay away from our children, and stay away from our areas. But the sad reality is he and his master pimp, George Bush, are already in the Muslim communities. I'm talking about Iraq and Afghanistan, where their brand of extremism has caused the deaths of tens of thousands of innocents. Even now, they are responsible for the terrorization of millions across Iraq and Afghanistan. Their brand of extremism brought us rendition flights, kidnap, torture, illegal detention of Muslims across the globe. Their extreme foreign policies in Palestine of preemptive strikes, illegal wars, and invasions brought us 9/11, Bali, Madrid, and the London bombings, as well as other carnage around the world. But don't for one minute believe that it's especially a special friendship which is mutually rewarding. It is very much a one-way relationship where George Bush is still doing all the bidding and Tony Blair is still doing all the running. I once liked Bush to a crack dealer, a repulsive individual who trades on the misery of others, spreading his poison without a conscience. I'm afraid our British Prime Minister is acting like the crack dealer's hoe. Under his narcotic influence and willing to do whatever it takes to guarantee the next fix. Like a crack addict, Blair will do anything to get his fix, and the price he is paying to get that fix is to sacrifice the freedoms and liberties of his own people. Gone is the sacred trust between a government and its citizens. We have been sold off like modern-day slaves and can now be carted off to America, accused of crimes for which there is no real evidence. Then Blair has the nerve to accuse us of having a victim mentality. He's supported by so-called Muslim academics who have no idea of what it is like living in Britain today. Blair even has the audacity to say that we have a completely false sense of grievance against the West. No, Mr. Blair, wrong again. Our grievance is with you, your rotten government, and the rancid, spineless Uncle Toms and Muslim house slaves you surround yourself with. No other world leader would dare betray his people in such an obscene way. But then again, no other world leader is hooked and addicted to US power in the way that Blair is. And of course, he has support from the political police force, the Metropolitan Police. A senior officer, Paul Stevenson, recently claimed that the plot to blow up 10 American airliners out of the sky was intended to be mass murder on a scale unimaginable. His press conference, of course, had the desired effect. It terrified the life out of everyone, and we couldn't get on planes with a lipstick or some baby milk or creams. Naturally, if the Metropolitan Police have got it right, and let's face it, there's always a first time, then we should be eternally grateful. But let's remember, these intelligence gatherers are the same lot who brought us the weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. These are the same fools who brought us the Rising Plot, the plot to blow up Manchester United, and other hysterical nonsense. In the 5 years since 9/11, the police have managed to raid and trash more than 3,000 Muslim homes. And when they come knocking, they don't ring the bell at 10, 11 o'clock in the morning. They come crashing into your home 4 o'clock in the morning, destroying everything in their way. And if you're unfortunate enough, like one of the Forest Gate brothers, you get shot. They have arrested more than 1,000 Muslims, resulting in less than 70 charges and less than half a dozen convictions under the new anti-terrorism laws, and all of those are appealing against conviction. This is not a success story. But while the police seem so keen to arrest Muslims in an almost haphazard fashion, designed to bring fear and intimidation into our communities, I would like to know just who is going to bring the real war criminals to justice. I'm talking about Bush and Blair. As I said before, he has the nerve to tell Muslims to stop having a victim mentality. He tells us how we should behave while our brothers and sisters across the world are being bombed, butchered, and civilized by daisy cutters. That's a bit like being told to stand still while you're being shot at and then charged for the bullets afterwards. As Muslims, we're made to feel guilty of some sort of heinous crime. And if you'd read the Sunday Times a few weeks ago, we can no longer go paintballing. Two fearless Sunday Times journalists went undercover in a paintball camp in Cheshire, and they followed a group of Muslims around. One of them was shot with a pellet and he shouted, "I've just been martyred." Another of his friends said, "Don't worry, all martyrs go to paradise." This was a clear indication of the radicalization of young men, and quite obvious, according to the Sunday Times, that when Muslims go paintballing, they're training for terror. This is the sort of nonsense we're having to put up with. We can no longer go whitewater rafting. We can't go on adventure weekends. Everything that we're doing, we are being scrutinized. To the non-Muslims here, I would say we need your help and support like we've never needed it before. We cannot rely on the Muslim leaders who have castrated themselves in their bid to please the government. Our community is in danger of losing its voice. And to the Muslims here today, I would say, look around. We have many friends from many faiths, many cultures, many backgrounds. There is strength in our diversity and even more strength in our unity. Stop being afraid and stop kissing the hand that slaps you. If we don't stand up together and fight for our rights, we will be picked off ruthlessly, one by one. We have good friends who will support us, but we also need to help ourselves. And remember, the great never look that great when you stand up and get off your knees. Thank you.